Today, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Romans, to chapter 8. Romans 8 is what? Reformed theology. Bible theology, God's Word. Today, I'd like to read a few verses beginning with verse 8. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. May we pray again. Father, we thank thee so much for thy holy word. Thank thee for giving us eyes to see it, minds to comprehend it. Bless us now to understand what we have read. Thy words for us today. We pray in the name of thy Son, the living Word, Jesus. Amen. The Bible knows of only two types of people. The Bible knows of only two types of people: the saved and the unsaved, the redeemed and the unredeemed. Those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and those who rejected him. There are a lot of other categories of people. These have been made by people. God sees two types of people: believers and unbelievers. The Apostle Paul is very, very concerned that we understand that there are only two types of people. And to understand how terrible one type of people are. I don't know if that was good English, but anyway, he wants us to understand that if you're going to be a part of the body of Christ, you cannot live like the world. Paul divides these two groups, and he calls one group the people of flesh. The people of flesh are people that live for now. They're controlled by sin. They're controlled by Satan. They are people who dislike God. Often they fight God. They oppose him. They hate him. Paul says that most of these people are hostile to God. They don't like him. They don't want to mention his name. They don't want you to mention his name around them. Paul sees these people as enemies of God, who despise God and hate him. Hate him with a passion. Paul says they hate God, they despise God. Interesting, Paul was one of these people. Before he became a Christian, he persecuted the people of God. Paul thought that he was serving God by trying to eliminate the new Christian church. He stood there and watched and cheered as stones were tossed at Stephen. He persecuted people. Why was he going to Damascus? Not for a holiday. Not to see the sights. He was going there to persecute Christians. To have them arrested. And tried and probably executed. But God turned Paul around. We know his story very well if we've read Acts. How God confronted Paul. Not with a few little words and a pat on the back. He slammed Paul upside the head and said, "Wake up! You're persecuting me. You're persecuting the church of God." And Paul became what? A believer, a sound believer, the greatest theologian of the New Testament. Maybe the greatest theologian other than Jesus Christ. We in the Reformed faith honor Paul a great deal. I like to say we trace ourselves to Calvin, then to Augustine, then to Paul. It all go back to Jesus. Jesus is the author of the Reformed faith. Paul wants us to understand how bad those people of the flesh are. They're warring against the church of God. They hate God. They want to do away with God. But then in verse 9, there's a shift. There's what we might call a dramatic change. Verse 9 begins some comments on people of the Spirit. Paul says there are people of the flesh who hate God, but then there are people of the Spirit who love God. They are believers. They have professed their faith in Christ. They have said, "He is my Lord and Savior." They have given their lives to Him. They're fellow believers. He's addressing this letter to the folks up in Rome, the Christian church in Rome. But he is addressing all believers. So why Paul is very negative toward the people of the flesh, he is very, very positive about the spirit people. It's important that we modern day believers understand these two types of people. We live in a world that endorses sin. Evil is promoted over good. Read the Post-Dispatch, the religion page sometimes. Read about people who say it's wrong to oppose people who do evil things. Evil is called good. Goodness is condemned. Things that God condemns are lauded as good, and we find movies and television shows featuring them. Sad thing is, if you speak out against this evil, you're often condemned as a bigot, a right-wing fanatic, bigot, whatever you are. You're wrong. You got to do what the world says. We need to understand that today there are still just two types of people, believers and non-believers. The Apostle Paul spoke very highly of the people of the Spirit. He says that believers are controlled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in every believer. Before his death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus said he was going to leave his disciples, but he's not going to leave them defenseless. He's going to send an advocate, a comforter, the Holy Spirit to be with each believer. Every person who has professed their faith in Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within each believer. There are some people, some churches that say you got to go through a second session, maybe a spirit baptism or something that comes later in life. Barbara and I used to be down in Georgia, and there was a denomination that was big in that part of Georgia that claimed that you had to go through a second birth. A second birth. The Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit, comes upon each believer when he professes faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible is very explicit in saying that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working within each believer. When you read and study the Bible, it's difficult to understand how some people reject the Trinity. But there are people who say that there's only one God. They deny what the Bible teaches. Again, some of those same people that I was referring to claim that the Trinity, while the word is not in the Bible, but the concept is there, these people claim that the idea of the Trinity was invented by the Roman Catholic Church 300 or 400 years after the resurrection. So it was a man-made invention, they said, and had to be rejected. But Paul is very explicit in saying that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are working within each of us. In fact, he says anyone who does not have the Spirit does not have Jesus Christ. Now, those are very blunt words. But remember, this is a very serious matter. Where you will spend eternity depends on whether or not you profess your faith in Christ. The apostle wants every believer to think carefully. Every person, not just believers, but we need to think before we make a wrong decision. He says that if the Spirit does not dwell in a person, that person does not belong to Christ. You may say, well, my name is on a church roll down in St. Louis, or down in the Boot Hill. I haven't been to church in decades, but my name is still there. Therefore, I'm going into heaven. I don't have to go to your church. Ever hear that stated by people? We hear it all the time. We heard it in Georgia. We hear it here in Missouri. I don't have to go to your church because my name is on a roll somewhere. Paul says that faith is a very serious matter. Becoming a Christian is not something that we take lightly. It's not like joining a social club. A believer's life should show that the Spirit dwells within him or her. In other words, the believer should not live like the unbeliever. The believer should live a different type of life. Again, here in 8, Paul is mentioning the Trinity again. He uses the terms God's Spirit and Christ's Spirit. Paul says that we're dead in our sins, but God the Spirit can make us alive, not through our efforts, but through His work. The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, he says, will dwell within each believer. Now, who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father? Paul says that all three persons of the Trinity were involved in the resurrection of his Son, of God's Son, Jesus. The words here explain the relationship of the three. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father were involved in the resurrection. God the Father worked through God the Spirit to regenerate life in the body of Jesus. But God the Son has said that he has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it again. In John 10, verses 17 and 18, the Lord stated his power is so great that he could lay down his life and take it again. In other words, the Son of God has the same power and authority as God the Father and God the Spirit. All three are equal. Just as we mentioned in one of the questions to Mrs. Adler. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son raised the Son from the dead. You see, the Bible teaches that God has worked a great miracle within our lives. And he has brought us out of our sins. And God the Spirit imbues or dwells within every believer so that we need to walk in his ways and do his will. Paul wants us to understand there are two types of people. Those who love God and want to please him, who want to live exactly in accord with his teachings and commandments. The Ten Commandments that we read are not idle words. They are guides to live life. But then there are others who want to reject all of that because they think that they are smarter than God. And they have worked out their own future. Again, there are two types of people. Those who reject God. We see books, prominent evolutionists, astronomers, writing books saying there is no God. We can prove that God does not exist. But you and I know the truth. We have God's word. We have what God tells us. God will not be mocked. And those who reject him are going to spend eternity wishing that they had professed their faith in Christ. Jesus told a story about two people. One was a very rich man. He could eat banquets. He dressed well. Brooks Brothers and all that jazz. Another man was poor. He had nothing to eat. He had sores all over his body. The dogs licked his sores. Both men died. The man with the sores went to heaven. Not because he'd done anything, but because he had faith in God. The other man went to hell and was tortured. And he cried out to Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus with a cup of water to cool my parched lips." In other words, "Lazarus, do for me what I would not do for you when you were dying at my gate and I stepped over your miserable body in my fine clothes." Abraham said, "That can't be done. There's a gap. There's a huge chasm between heaven and hell, and you cannot cross over." Lazarus is spending eternity in heaven, not because he was a good man, because he had a lot of money in the bank, drove a rich chariot with fine horses. He had faith in God. The rich man is in hell. Even though he could buy anything in the city of Jerusalem, nothing was too expensive for him. But he rejected God. And he rejected his fellow man. And that is the fate of all. The picture that Jesus gave is a picture of all of humanity. Those who profess their faith in Christ will spend eternity with God in heaven. And those who reject him are going to be like the rich man, begging for a cup of water, for the torment of hell to be eased. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reminder that the apostle gives us that there are only two types of people, those who believe and those who do not. We thank thee that all of us here in this room have professed our faith. Oh, we pray that one day each one, the little ones, will profess their faith in Christ. We pray, Father, for the many about us who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We know they're going to hell because they have rejected him. We pray, if it be thy will, that some might yet be saved. For thou hast the power to save even the worst of sinners. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And as we come to the table now, we're reminded again of our salvation. Not through our efforts, not through our will, but through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us. In his name, amen.